Blair. Well, good evening. We're off to a good start. Let's just have a word of prayer. And again this evening, I'd ask that you would stop and think about what it is you believe of God. What do you know of God? What do you believe of God? And do you know that it's from the Bible? Do you know that what you believe of God is scriptural? And are you living what you believe of God? It's fine and dandy to say, yeah, I believe this of God, but if you go out and live as if there is no God, what good has that done you? And so let's pray and ask God that he would take his word and that he would shine it into our hearts by his Holy Spirit and show us where there's lies, deceit, we're deceiving ourselves, and that we can hear his Holy Spirit speaking. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we come before you this evening and thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Now, God, I ask at this moment that you would, by your Holy Spirit, bring your word home to each heart here tonight, that they would be able to hear and speaking clearly. Father, just remove the things that would distract them, any little thing that might take them away, and that they might be able to hear that voice quietly, bringing home the truth of who you are, speaking this in their hearts, Lord, that they might understand. And Father, that where changes need to be made, that change would be made. Where sin would need to be confessed, that they would confess it. And Father, where they need to be strengthened, that they'd be strengthened. Lord, we just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. We finished talking off this afternoon a little bit about that God is immutable. Does anybody remember what the word immutable means? That God, when we say God is immutable, it means what? Yes, unchangeable. Muy bien. Muy bien. Very good. Sorry. Not too many times yet this weekend, but that's very good. God is unchangeable. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn me for a moment to the book of Hebrews. And I'd just like to look at something there, Hebrews chapter 6. Tell me for a minute, what do you have that's unchangeable? Do you have anything that is unchangeable, that does not change, that will never change? Your parents, but how long are they getting younger or older? Older. So are they changing in some ways? Yeah, like me, I'm getting older. More handsome every day, but older still. Okay. Anything else in this world that we have? Anything that's unchanging? Ah. I'm sorry, gentlemen. That's a hogwash. No matter whether you're drinking Red Bull or not, your energy decreases. We do have something that doesn't change, and what is that? The Word of God, the Bible. It doesn't change. Anything else you have that doesn't change? Need to breathe? Ah, yeah, but one of these days you're going to be dead. And unfortunately, although you might like to, and you might feel you need to, it's too late. Ah, every soul is eternal. And God offers to every one of you eternal life. And nothing can change that. Nothing can change eternal life. That's something else you have. Now look with me for a moment at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. And listen to what it says there. Actually, let's read verse 17. It says there, speaking of God, that God willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of promise the immutability or the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath, that by two immutable things, two things that cannot change, in that it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. You notice twice you encounter those words, immutable, unchangeable. And what is it that we have? We have God's word that never changes. That's something you know that you have, that nothing else can change, and that's God's word. And it's important you remember that. That God's word, like we read in Isaiah chapter 40, that although many things change, the word of God does not change. And we have that. We can hang on to that even when things may seem very bad. And you know, we've talked about this, and I think if we were to think about it, we'd realize how many times that God is taking care of us. God is watching out for us. He's confirming that for us. And I was thinking of a little example. I forget how long ago it was, but we traveled north in Peru to visit a small village. It's a rather rustic village. And we travel up there to preach the gospel to actually two little villages. And we had gone up there, traveled up north, spent some time there, and then it's about a 5.5 hour drive back. Now, it's 5.5 hours because, first of all, the roads, every village enter has a speed bump when you enter. If there's a school in the village, there's another speed bump. And then when you go past the school, there's another speed bump. When you leave the village, there's another speed bump. So you're slowing down, speeding up. And then to make it even more fun, whenever there might be any rain crossing the road, they, instead of putting a culvert, one of those round things under the road for the water to go through, no, they put the road down like that. So you may be driving along, and all of a sudden, whoop, the road's disappearing, and you hit your brakes, boom, down you go. Or you might see this thing in the road, and it's kind of, and all of a sudden, bang, there you go. So you never quite can go to sleep on the road. Well, we were driving home, and we'd probably got about an hour and a half into our drive, and we arrived in this village, or in this town. It's a fairly good-sized town, Chulucanas. And when we arrived in this village, or town, every town has a town square. Every town down there has a town square. And it's amazing. These people all come to town square at certain times. In our town, Sunday night, all the young people like you guys go to the town square. And they walk in squares. And they do that all for 2 hours, and then they go home. Why? I don't know. But that's what they do. So every town is a town square. So we were driving up to the town square, and just as we were getting ready to turn right by this town square, lots of people, all of a sudden, we're in this old van, and it's in rough shape. Like, it's pretty tough. It's got manual steering, like literally you got to haul it like this to turn the corners and that. And so as we get ready to make the corner, a friend of ours, a brother in Christ, is driving, and he hasn't driven that many years, not a lot actually. And as we get ready to make that turn, all of a sudden he's not turning and we're going straight. And there's two motos sitting in front of us, and they get this panic look on their face like, ah, you're going to kill us, which was reality what we were about to do. And I'm saying to him, hit the brakes, except in Spanish. And all of a sudden he hits the brakes and we stop. Well, what had happened? We get out, and here we are blocking the street, almost hitting these poor freaked out taxi drivers. The steering on our van, the coupling, had dropped off. And we couldn't turn anymore. The steering wheel was like this, but it wasn't connecting with the wheels. The wheels weren't going like this with us. They were staying there, and we were able to spin the wheel. And so we pushed it back and got it off the street a bit. And one of the brothers is with us. He knows some stuff about mechanics, so he got under with a hammer, bang, 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 and smashed her back together. And we got all together again. Now, why I'm telling you this is because we have some different parts of that trip, and there's one part where we go over some hills, and literally we're doing this as we go back and forth through these hills. And if you happen to miss one of these like this and go like this, it's like this, okay? You kind of get the idea what happens if you miss one of these? You go a long ways down. If God had decided to wait till we were doing this, we would have done this. But God waited till we were in a town, going slow, making a corner, and he let it go. God knew a long time before we started a trip it was going to happen. And he decided right there, I'll let it go. And so we saw God's hand protecting us right there and then. Because God is watching over us, we can learn to trust him. And we can know that even though bad things happen, that we can trust God. because God is in control. God knows what's best to strengthen us, to learn to depend upon Him. Because you know what? Most of you guys are living your life more or less as if there is no God. Oh yes, I'm sure you go to the meeting, you might read your Bible, but in a lot of ways you live like there is no God. But when there's a test all of a sudden, oh Lord, please help, I need help. Yeah, okay, now you need help. But the rest of the time, often, and I'm talking to myself, we forget about God. We live like we don't need Him until there's a problem. Help, Lord! Isn't that what they say when the guy jumps out of the airplane and his parachute doesn't work? Help, Lord! Why? Because suddenly he really needs help and he can't do anything about it. Did you get that? He can't do anything about it. God is allowing us to be in situations where we realize how helpless we are. Because think about it. If God suddenly took all the oxygen out of this room, how helpless would you be? There's nothing we could do, could there? If God suddenly took away, and I heard about this young man, bodybuilder, and he got struck with a disease, and he literally went from this hunk of a man to a helpless hunk. Just like that. The point is, we are helpless. Without God, we can do nothing. And God allows us to be in circumstances so that we're reminded how helpless we are and we learn to depend on Him. That's what He wants, so that we can honor Him and glorify Him for who He really is. And so we can learn to depend on God because He is unchangeable. And I want you to start thinking about that in your own life. Start thinking about, where does everything I have come from? Who gives me this? Your ability to do math or not to do math. Your abilities in school or lack thereof. Your ability to walk, to think, to eat. All these things come from God. And He could just like that take all these things from you. Do you ever give thanks for these things, even though they're so simple? Well, tonight I'd like to go a little further from the immutability of God, and I'd like to look at something called the omniscience of God, which simply means that God knows everything. And I'd like to look at a few aspects, and I hope some of you start thinking about this a little further and can take and see more, even more aspects of it. But let's start by looking at Isaiah chapter 40, please. Isaiah 40. Maybe somebody, if they could find Isaiah 40, verse 28. Very good. We see there that God's understanding, there's no limit to God's understanding. There's no limit to what God knows. Because remember something, God made everything. And as creator of everything, He knows it all. He knows everything He made. He understands it completely. And not only that, He knows what it takes to keep it going. He knows exactly what it takes to keep you going, to keep you functioning properly, to keep this earth functioning properly, this universe. He, day by day, it says, sustains it by the word of His power. God, with His word, is keeping everything flowing perfectly. From the changing of the seasons, from the birds doing what they do, the fish doing what they do, the plants doing what they do, right to the universe function as it does, God is sustaining it every day. But look a little further in Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46. And somebody, if you could read for me, please, verse 10. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Don't be shy. Nobody? There we go. Got two of them. You're next. Not only does God know everything, He knows it right from the beginning to the very end. We talked about how God is eternal. Well, now you see this applied to His knowledge. He knows everything that's going to happen and that has happened, and He knows how it's going to happen. But now let's make this a little more personal. God knows everything, But God knows everything about you, and God knows everything about me. He knows every weakness, every strength that you have. Everything you think, hey, this is where I am really cool, this is where I'm really good, or whatever. And this is where I think I really stink. Like I am the lowest of the low in this. God knows exactly all about you. Because look what it says in Psalm 139. And verse 2. Somebody read that one for me, please. Psalm 139, verse 2.
You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off.
God knows when I get down, when I get up. Not only that, God knows my thoughts. Right now, some of you are sitting here and you're thinking whatever, and God knows your thoughts. Think about that. He knows exactly what you're thinking of right now, where your mind is. And it's like a teleprompter going across the frontier, and he's just reading it all. And if he wanted to, he could read yours out loud. There sits Jane, there sits Joey, there sits Peter, and this is what they're thinking. And this is what they're saying inside their head right now about all that's going on. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything that you're thinking. But I want you to know, not only does he know what you're thinking, but look in Hebrews chapter 4. And I want you to see this with your own eyes. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Listen to what this says. Most of these verses you've probably read before. So God knows our thoughts, but in Hebrews 4, verse 12, kind of repeats part of it. Can somebody stand and read that? Hebrews 4, verse 12. Okay, so the Word of God is discerner of the what? Of the thoughts. We already said that. But what else? The intents. See, God not only knows what you're thinking, but God also knows your intentions. See, sometimes we do things, and everybody, they appear to be good. But inside, we've got an ulterior motive. I'm doing this because I want this. Or I want to take advantage of this. And so we're taking advantages. Like we were telling people today how Peruvians are a little deceitful. Not all of them. Some, they're very many fine people. But those people who are thieves, what they'll do, we had one Canadian guy this happened to. He went to the bank, took a lot of money at the ATM, took out his wallet, stuck it in there, put his wallet back, walked along. He's kind of walking along. And this lady comes and drops her stuff in front of him. Now, being a good Canadian boy, guess what he does? He goes to help her. Okay? You see what happened? She had a buddy. She wasn't alone. Her intentions weren't good. So when he did this, somebody else did this. And he was totally unaware. And he lost his wallet. Her intentions were not pure. Her intentions were not good. She had ulterior motives. And many times we, you and me, we come to God with an ulterior motive. Now, God, if you help me with this, I'll do that. Come on, let's be real. Okay? Like, this is not a barter. You give me that, I'll give you this. God doesn't need anything. Remember, God is perfect. He doesn't need anything. So let's not go bartering something that's useless to him. He doesn't need. Why would he want that? Let's be frank and say, God, I'm helpless, help. Let's be honest. And so not only does he know our thoughts, he also knows our intentions. So let's get this straight right now. You and I got to stop coming to God and trying to barter with him. Like, okay, it's the night before the final exam, and we offer to give our firstborn if only God will help us on this exam. Now, it's pretty easy to do that because none of you have a firstborn yet. Okay, it's a little harder for me because I do. She probably wouldn't like it if I did that. But to offer something like, God, I will do this for you if you only help me right now. Let's be honest. and say, God, I screwed up, and confess it, and say, God, now I'm going to study with all my heart, but if you see fit to help me, fine. If not, well, I've learned a lesson. The next time I better be studying the week in advance, not the night before. And whatever the situation is, let's be honest and frank with God, because God is looking for honesty with us. Because remember, he reads our thoughts. He knows. You can say, yeah, but man, I had a busy week. I really didn't have much time to do this. He's like, get real. Like, he saw your schedule. He saw how many hours you spent playing the games or painting your face or doing whatever you do, you know, looking at the boys. Oh, he's so cute. Or whatever you all spend your time doing. The reality is none of us are really that busy that we can't do the things we're supposed to do. God knows your thoughts. God knows your intentions. You can't fool him. And so he's searching these things out. Because why is this important? I want you to know how God knows you so well, and yet he loves you in spite of what you are. And some of you have a difficult time accepting yourself for what you are. You look at yourself and you see yourself for what you really are. You're a mess. And you say, how could anybody love this? Maybe you look in the mirror and you think, how could anybody love this? But see, that's the beauty of it. God knows you even better than you know you, and he loves you so much that he gave his son for you. Unconditional love. He doesn't say to you, if you will do this, then I'll love you. If you will give me this, I will love you. No, he says, I love you. And he proves it because he says, while we were still sinners, what did he do? Christ died for us. God has proved his love in a way we can never argue. God loves you. You need to tell yourself that God loves me. Not because of who I am, not because I'm the strongest, not because I'm the smartest, not because I'm the fastest or anything. He just loves me. So even though I may feel like I'm the lowest of the low, I am below the worms in the food chain, God still loves me. We need to remember that it's nothing to do with me or with what I am. It's who he is that he loves us, because he knows me. He knows me perfectly. He has no doubt. So that God is never going to say, ooh, I didn't know this. It's like you read these, if you ever read these love stories or watched these movies, and this guy and this girl get all moochy-moochy together, and then they decide to dum-dum-dee-dum-dum-dum, they do the little waltz up the aisle and get married. And then afterwards, he or she goes and says, oh, I never told you this. And then you see the look come over her or his face. Oh, no, don't say it's true. Yes, I can't believe it. And then this horrible revelation comes out. Actually, I have something, the real situation. And I'll tell you this because none of you are ever going to come to Peru and share this. I had a mother come to me a couple weeks ago. Actually, it was one of the teachers. And she said to me, I'm not sure what exactly to do. Because one of the mothers had come to her and told her this and shared with her. She has a son, really sharp kid, smart as a whip. Probably the smartest kid in his class. And as it turns out, his father, who's now a Christian, used to be a terrorist. He was a terrorist. The terrorists in Peru killed over 60,000 people in the 90s. So these are serious terrorists. Now this man got saved, but she said, I don't know how to go telling this to my son, that his dad is a terrorist, but I don't want somebody else to go telling him. What do I do? This is a real life situation. But you know what? God loved this terrorist just as he loves this man. And although this young man doesn't know the reality of his father, our Heavenly Father knows it already. He knows him intimately, and there's nothing he can hide from God. Now you think about that. We think of all these things being revealed, but God already knows it, and there's nothing. Like this boy someday is going to find out, and maybe he'll be shocked, or maybe he won't be. But God will never be shocked to hear you say, "But God, I did this. Ah, I can't take you." No. God already knows. He knows you perfectly. But what does he want from you? He wants you to confess that and to go on, because he is willing to forgive it. That's God. He knows you like that. So we can never surprise him. Not only does he know you perfectly, but he has what it takes. He knows what it takes to make you like his son. Think about that. You and me, with all our flaws, with all the things that go wrong in us. And sometimes Johnny and I talk about that. What do we do about the problems in our lives where we screw up and we seem to do it repeatedly? But God knows what it takes to make me like his son. Because look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Somebody stand up and read that when you find it, please. Right. God, if you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you can say, "Yes, I have eternal life," you have the promise of God that he is going to finish the work in you. All you have to do is submit to him, and he is going to change you. He knows exactly what you need. He knows what to change in you and me to make us like his son. Now, it's never going to be perfectly complete until the day we're with him, but he knows each step of the way if we'll only trust him. That's what God has for you and for me. And so what do we have to do? We come back to where we started, don't we? We have to trust him. We have to realize that his knowledge is perfect and that he has the perfect plan for my life and for your life. If only we'll trust him. If only we'll get in his word and look for that, he will show it to us. And so that's what God has for you. He knows you. He knows you inside out. And so he knows what you need to live a godly life. And so what has he given us to live this godly life? What does every Christian have from God to live their godly life? First of all, we have the Word of God, but what else does he give us to dwell within us? The Holy Spirit. He gave us, think about this, like, once you start thinking more about God, you realize how mind-blowing it is that he gave, the infinite God sent his Spirit to live in us and to guide us. He didn't send along an angel. He didn't send the best of his angels, Michael, Gabriel, whichever one you think is best, I don't know. He sent his own Spirit to dwell within us. God's own Spirit indwells the Christian to guide us, because who knows God like the Spirit of God? No one. And so we have his Spirit within us, guiding us, directing us, showing us how we ought to live, how we can obey his word. And so he's given that to us. But not only that, young people, you know, sometimes young people say, "Well, my mom or dad, they just don't understand me. They don't understand." Well, look what it says of God. Psalm 147, verse 5. Psalm 147, verse 5. When you find it, stand up and read it, please. Snooze, you lose. You got to read it right away, okay? Read that again. We're kind of distracted over here. Remember we said that God is infinite? His understanding is infinite. You got a problem, I may not be able to understand it, but guess who understands it? God understands your problem. He understands every tangled aspect of it. And he has a solution for it. Why? Because his knowledge is infinite. His understanding is infinite. It says in Job 23:10, "He knoweth the way that I take. And when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold." God knows the way that we take. He understands that. And he knows what each one of us needs. And so we can say with Paul in Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God." God's wisdom, his understanding, his knowledge is profound. it's infinite. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out or finding out. But now what happens? Man rejects God's knowledge. Why? Because people don't like the fact that God knows everything. And so what do? They try to act as if God doesn't know everything. And you know what that's like? It's like a little kid standing there, plugging his ears and hiding his face and going, "You can't see me." Does that change the fact that he's standing right in front of me? No. No, no, you can't. Or to do this, "You can't hear me." Na, 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 na. Okay, whoop-de-doo. The funniest thing I ever saw, I'll tell you this. I went to university in Tennessee, and we had a deaf school at our university. And one day I was sitting in the dating parlor. It was a Christian university, so we had the dating parlor, and where the dating couples are supposed to go sit, and under supervision they could talk. So I was sitting there, and I was watching a deaf couple talking, and they were having a bit of a discussion. And if you've ever seen them do sign language, you know, and then she, and then he, and you could see they were being quite emphatic with the way they're doing things. So then she obviously made a fairly succinct point, and then he proceeded to give even a more emphatic, and then you know what he did? He shut his eyes. She couldn't say another word. But that's like you and I hiding our eyes and saying to God, "You can't see me." God sees us. God knows us. And we can never hide from God. But yet man wants to do that. Think about it, young people. People don't want to recognize God. And maybe you're sitting there tonight and you're thinking about that and you're just thinking, "Oh, it's a bunch of hogwash." Well, I'll tell you something. If you don't want to acknowledge God, you're rejecting God's presence in this world. It's because you want to hide from the knowledge of God, that God knows every thought of your heart. God knows everything you do. God knows, young men, when you go down the internet and you see things you shouldn't see. He knows when you think the wrong thoughts, young men and young women. When you're thinking inappropriate things. When you're doing inappropriate things. He's seen that. He knows that. Because he is everywhere. He's right there beside you when you're on that computer. Or when you're with your friends and you're hearing this stuff, or when you're doing this stuff. He's right there. He knows it. You can't pull the wool over his eyes. You're only pulling the wool over your own eyes. And even that's not true, because you know it's a lie. You know the truth. And what does God want? God still loves you. But he wants you to deal with that. And that's why he puts his finger right on that and he says, "Let's deal with this now." He's not surprised by it, but he wants to deal with it. It's like you going to the doctor and telling the doctor, "Doctor, I got a problem." "Okay, what's your problem?" "Well, it hurts." "Okay, well, where does it hurt?" "Well, I really don't want to tell you." "Okay, well, how am I supposed to help you?" "Well," or saying to the doctor, "Yeah, it hurts here, but I don't want you touching there. You can touch every other part of my body, but don't touch here because it hurts there." Like, hello? That doesn't make sense. And you are sinning against God, but you don't want him to touch that part of your life. Young people, we've got to be open and honest with God. If we're going to walk in the light, we're going to have to know that he's going to shine the light in and expose all the bad, just like a doctor. The doctor is examining you, and he's searching. What's he looking for? He's looking for problems. Why? To make you feel bad? No, because one thing we learn from the Word of God is when God exposes something in our life, it's not to ridicule us. It's not to make us look foolish. That's what the devil likes. That's what the devil does. He exposes people to tear them down. Look in the Word of God. He always exposes to bring people down. Look in the world. Everybody's always looking for mud to sling at everyone else. Isn't that the way of the world? To tear down. What does God do? God exposes like a doctor. And I don't even like to use that, but it help you maybe understand. Because why does a doctor expose your problem? To make you feel bad about yourself? Oh, I don't like that. Don't do that to me. I didn't know I had that. Leave me alone. No. The doctor says, look, you got something growing right here. Now, I got to check it out because I think that we need to deal with that right away. Oh, no. I'm okay. I'm going to pretend I don't have that. That's what you're doing, though, when you're going on sinning and ignoring God pointing at it. Because God is speaking in your heart, and he's saying, you're doing this, and you need to confess. Oh, no, I don't hear you, God. I don't hear you, God. That's what you're doing. The doctor, no, he says to you, we need to deal with this right now. He's not doing that because he wants to hurt you. The doctor's doing that because he cares about your health. How much more the almighty, infinitely loving God, who knows exactly what you need, and he says, you need to deal with this sin now. Young people, if you have sin in your life tonight, if you are doing things, if you're participating in things in your life that you shouldn't be, and I don't care if it's something as simple as gossiping, you've got the mouth about everybody, or if it's you're involved in something you shouldn't be. Maybe some of you are on the internet looking at things you shouldn't be. Some of you are doing activities, drugs, or whatever it might be. You need to deal with that now because God knows it. And although you may think, oh, I don't want anybody to see this, one day it's going to be exposed in the place where you never wanted to be exposed, and that's in front of the Almighty God, and he's going to say, I have to judge this now. So you can deal with it now, or you can deal with it later. What are you going to do about it? Confess your sins now, because the Word of God is clear. He's faithful, he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to make us a new creation so that we can go on. Deal with your sin now, young people. He knows it. It's exposed in front of him. It's no surprise to him. So get it out in the open before him and deal with it. Confess it and move on. Because God wants to heal you. He wants to make you like you should be. You're not surprising him. And he's not exposing it to tear you down. He does it instead so that we might be healed and so that we might be like his son. Now, the other thing I just like to bring out about this is that it says in the book of Exodus that the children of Israel were in slavery. And every one of us here in different times of our life come into problems that almost overwhelm us. And they bring us down to our knees. And maybe right now you say, hey, man, my life is pretty good. I'm doing okay. I got no problems. But there's a million and one people around you that are suffering and sad. And they've got problems in their life and sorrows that they should never have. We have little kids coming into our school in Peru. And some of these kids come in and they've got the weight of the world on their shoulders. They should never have to bear that, and yet they do. Some of them, 7, 8 years old. And you hear their stories and it's just your heart breaks. But I want you to understand that no matter how sad a story you have, that the Lord Jesus understands your sorrow and your pain. And you know why I can say that? Because it says in Isaiah 53 that he is a man of sorrows. He came down to this earth. You know why he came down to this earth? He came down to die, but he also came down to live first so that he could walk where we walk and he would suffer what we suffer and he would know the pain of seeing people suffering. He knew what it was like to come to Lazarus, basically to his grave, and to see Mary and to see Martha crying, and he felt for them. He knew what it was like to see the people hungering and thirsting, and he felt for them. It says he was a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. He knew what grief was. But he's merciful. He doesn't want to leave you there. He wants to come alongside of you, and that's what you read in 1 Corinthians, that he's what kind of a God? He's a God of comfort. He wants to come alongside of you and comfort you. He knows what you're dealing with right now. And maybe some of you have got the load of the world on your shoulders. and nobody knows about it. Or maybe you think nobody understands it. But I can guarantee you that He does. And if you will just come to Him and give that over to Him, He wants to give you comfort, to show you that He cares and that He's there to carry the load. That's why it says in Proverbs, cast your burden. Or if you can't cast it, roll your burden that weighs you down. Roll it on the Lord. And He will sustain you. He will lift you up. That's what He does. Because He was a man of sorrows, it says, and acquainted with grief. And so, each one of us has a response to God. Has a response to the fact that God knows us intimately. That God cares about us. You can accept the fact that God loves you and that God cares about you, and you can confess your sin. And you can allow God to change you and to shape you and to mold you by His Holy Spirit into being an image of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. So people can look at you and say, hey, this guy, that's a Christian. He sure acts like one. Or she, man, sheesh, that's just something like I would think Jesus would do. That's what God wants to do with you. And no matter what it is that you're dealing with right now, He's there to bear you up in all that. But we've got a response. What are you going to do about it? We have to ask God to examine our heart. If there's sin in your heart, maybe some of you are sitting there at night and thinking, hey, I got no problems. I'm a good living kid. I got nothing. Well, in Psalm 26, it says, search me, O God, and try me, and know my way, and see if there be any wicked way in me. You think when God starts examining, He who knows everything, He's not going to find something? But He doesn't do it to tear us down. He does it so that He can heal us and make us like Christ, to get rid of the defects. If you think of it in a very basic way, it's like a coach looking at this new player. And what's he do? Oh, you're doing this wrong and this wrong. Oh, you dummy, why did you do it like that? Is that what he does? No, no. He's pointing out, he says, no, not like that. You've got to do it like this. Why? Because I want to win. I want the best. And that's what God is doing. He's looking at you and saying, okay, no, that's not right. You got this all wrong. This is sin. You're having a little self-pity party. That's wrong. Let's get rid of that. Confess that, and this is what you need to do. You need to look at me. And he just boom, 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 boom. Why? To tear us down? No, so that we can be like Christ, and so that we can be used by Him in this world. Do you want to be used by God, or you want to be sitting in your little corner, a pile of tears and pity? That's what God wants for you. How are you going to respond to God? Are you going to let Him examine, search your heart, and expose the things in there so that He can heal you and make you like Christ? Or are you going to reject Him? Because God has everything. And I'd like to close with one last little point. Because most of you are in some different level of education, I'd like you to realize something. That God, because God knows everything, all knowledge in this universe starts and ends with whom? With God. He made it all. So everything starts and ends with God. So when you go to high school, or when you go to university, they're going to try to get you to think outside of the box. They're going to try to get you to think, forget everything you know. But there's a problem with that. When you forget everything you know, what do you have? You got nothing. You need to always keep that basics, that basis of God, that God is the foundation of everything, that all knowledge comes from God, that He is the source of everything. And if we go to the source, then we're going to find out what we need to know. And so don't do that. Don't throw away everything you know, because you have the most important thing. And what is that? That is God. That is the basis of every aspect of education, is God. And when we start with Him, we're going to find the truth. But when we reject Him, we're going to find out what man makes up. So whether you're studying science, psychology, English, Spanish, or whatever language, music, you need to start with the Word of God and with God. And everything you study has to come through the Word of God. Because I'm going to tell you something, all your teachers, unless you have Christian teachers, they're giving you their view that has rejected God. Now, how are you supposed to accept that? they're rejecting God and they want you to believe this. You have to take what they're saying and pass it through the Word of God and then understand it. Now, how are you going to be able to do that? You're going to have to read the Word of God. So when they say things, if it jives with the Word of God, you say, oh, yeah, that's cool, that's great. Oh, no. They're going to be saying to you, you're good. You can do this. You have it inside of yourself. You're a good person inside of you. You're saying, but the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. We're all wicked. We've all gone astray. Okay, well, I've got a problem here. You're wrong. This is right. Now, you don't go telling your teacher that. You're wrong. The Bible says this. That might be a little strong. But you know that in your heart, what the Word of God says. So as your teacher is talking, it's filtered. You've got a filtering system so that everything comes through is coming through here. And you're saying, aha. Now, I'm telling you this from experience. When I went back to do my master's in education, I did a philosophy class of education. And I had people in there who had some really wacky ideas. And this was my stability. I would read the Word of God, and all of a sudden, it's like all the stuff they were saying is like, oh, wow, way out. This was the stability. God is the source of all knowledge, and it's only in Him that we can find out the truth. And so, young people, to come back to where we started from, you can trust God. If you're willing to open your heart and confess that sin that's there tonight, don't wait. Deal with it tonight. Or maybe that problem you think nobody understands, if you're willing to give that over to God, to let God come in and be the God of all comfort because He knows you intimately. He knows you perfectly. That's what He wants. He wants to have that fellowship. But it comes on the basis that you understand that He knows you perfectly. So what are you going to do with this? Are you going to accept Him and hide in the corner, pretend you can't see me? Are you going to, as it were, expose yourself and say, God, show me what's wrong and change it so that I can be healed, so that I can be like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's up to you. And it's going to take you to separate yourself with God and say, God, go at it. I want to be like your Son. I hope that that's the decision each one of you makes tonight, to commit yourself unreservedly to God. Shall we pray? Father,